You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Thirst again, we will be satisfied, Lord, because Lord, once we have you, there's nothing that can compare as you fulfill our all our needs. And so Father, we come tonight, Lord, wanting to be full, wanting to feast upon your word and to gain the spiritual nutrients that we need in order to walk this life in a way that our flesh does not win. And so Father, we surrender ourselves to you, we fall on our knees and we open our hearts. And Father, may you fill our hearts with your presence. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. And the youth can be excused. Y'all can go have some fun. Because you won't enjoy this message. Or maybe you will, too much. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings. Yes, exciting. We open a new book. Dun, 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 dun. And I'm feeling ambitious and hoping that I can make it through the first chapter, which is amazing seeing how it's 53 verses. So I better shut up and start teaching. I've entitled our message tonight, Family Values. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. So our title of 1 Kings chapter 1, Family Values, and I've broken up our message tonight into seven sections. First of all, verse 1 through 4, pretty comfortable. Verse 5 through 10, prideful cause. Verse 11 through 21, plan conceived. Verse 22 through 27, pleading case. And verse 28 through 37, proclamation confirmed. Verse 38 through 40, proper ceremony. And verse 41 through 53, party canceled. That's all for today. So, let me get moving. Okay, hey, this is a little joke I ran across. And speaking of perception and how perception is important, there was a wife, and she began to sing. And so they were on vacation, and she's singing, and the husband went out on the balcony, and she said, well, why did you go out on the balcony when I started singing? He said, I didn't want people to think that I was beating you. I know that's sad. It is sad. But listen, perception can have an effect. It really can. And we're going to see that there's some perception that is misleading that takes place. But I also want to point out that family value, to have family values, to have good family values is so important. So let's look at pretty comfortable in verse 1 through 4. Now, King David was old, advancing in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. So he's really not doing well. His health is failing, and he's very old. Therefore, his servants said to him, let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our Lord the king, and let her stand before the king, let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosoms, that my Lord the king may be warmed. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait, you're going to get a pretty young virgin girl with no husband and bring her to King David, the guy with multiple wives. He has too many wives already. I understand you want to get him warm, but maybe you're going to heat him up too much, I'm thinking. You're running the danger here. Verse 3. So they sought a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel. So they didn't just find some. They're searching for a very attractive woman. And they found Abishag, the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And I'll leave that name alone. But her name means, my father is a wanderer. That's what her name means. And Shunammite means double resting place. And I'm going to leave that one alone. Verse 4. The young woman was very lovely. She cared for the king and served him. but the king did not know her. So basically what happens here is they are not intimate together. So not only did they appoint her to him, but basically she now becomes a concubine. He is good. And you're going to see that when we move into the next chapter. It's going to be important for us to reflect on that as to what takes place. You're going to understand. So basically, though he is really up in age, and for David not to touch her in a way to know her in the biblical sense means he's really up in age. And so he just basically takes the warmth of her. But it's, at the same time, you know, I can't help this. Every time I see this, it makes me sad. Because, listen, if the king takes her as a concubine and he never sleeps with her, she cannot remarry in that culture. So that would mean she would remain a virgin her whole life and never have a family and never. So it's interesting as we move into the next chapter that you hang that on your belt because it's going to be important. But you'll have to come back next week for that. Let's move on. So that's pretty comfortable. Now let's look at prideful cause in verse 5 through 10. Now, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now here you have the perception. He's the king's son, and he says, I'm going to be king. And so a bunch of people, some chariots, some horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. It looks pretty legit, doesn't it? You'd be going, yeah, I guess he is the king. Now, this is all, by the way, here we are, deja vu for David. What do I mean by that? Here he has a son while David's alive wanting to be king before David's dead. And not even rightful kings, as you're going to see. But here, all of this is a fallout from David's sin. You know what we can do? Listen to me, folks. We can choose our sin, but we cannot choose the consequence of our sin. I'm sure David was thinking, wait a minute, man, that doesn't match my sin. But God can use any means he wants to punish us when we have done wrong. And he will. But look at his name, Adonijah. You know what that means? My Lord is Jehovah. That's what his name is. My Lord is Jehovah. And yet you're going to see he doesn't live as if the Lord is his Jehovah. He's going to live as if he is his own Lord. Now, he's David's fourth son. And what we know is two of the three older sons are dead. Ammon and Absalom, they're dead. All in that rebellion. The older son, Chileab, either is dead or he's unfit. Why? Because he's never mentioned again after 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3. Never mentioned again. So we don't know if he died or basically he's just kind of not there. Not important. He just doesn't do anything. And, you know, some of us have sons like that that don't do anything. Now, but thankfully, I don't have that. I have sons that are very busy. That's great. So in case you're watching. But much like Absalom, Adonijah is full of pride. Listen, folks, hear me on this. If we don't swallow our pride, we'll find someone who will follow our pride. And if people follow our pride, then we are responsible for the error that they live out. That's why Paul said, listen, my hands are clean of your blood. You know, I gave you the full counsel of God. So we must, in this case, he's going to be responsible for those that follow him. And you are, and I, it's the same thing. We can walk in our pride. We can even get people to believe and follow along with our pride. But then we, if we fall, we're responsible for them as well. Now, recognize that once again, David has a family member that is turning against him. And that's important. Why? Because David has high family values when it comes to love. He just doesn't discipline. Look, verse 6. And his father had not rebuked him, look at this, at any time by saying, why have you done so? In other words, David never said, hey, son, come here. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? No discipline. And then let's add this. Not only was he never, so basically he was a spoiled brat, okay? But not only was he a spoiled brat, here comes the death blow. He was also very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Remember Absalom? Who was he? Fabio. He had that long locks of hair. Mr. Good Looking. So here comes little brother, and he's what? Very good looking. Remember this. When the Bible says someone is good looking, God knows. So here we have another one of David's son who's another handsome devil. Literally. And all because he didn't discipline his children. Now, you know what's interesting? Solomon is also David's son. Solomon writes a vast majority of the Proverbs, but I want to read to you some of Solomon's Proverbs. Listen to this. You think maybe he saw something, he learned some lessons watching his big brothers? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he refuses correction goes astray. He's like, my brothers, not only did they refuse correction, they never got any because dad kept his mouth shut. All in the name of love. How about Proverbs 13:24? He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And my dad didn't discipline us, is what he's saying. My dad disciplined me. Oh, yeah, he did. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Solomon knows this to be all too true. Why? Remember Absalom? Remember Solomon's mom is Absalom's mom. Remember Absalom? He had a different mom, but same dad. But remember Absalom's mom? She was along with all of Israel when Absalom raped all of his dad's wives, the concubines, up on the roof of the house in the tent. She had to be there watching. Why? All of Israel was watching. He did it on the top of the house in a tent so everyone would know what he was doing. I'm sure she didn't go, oh, that's my boy. No. That's why Solomon said, hey, you know what? A child left to his own will bring shame to his mother. Absalom did that. And now Adonijah will do the same. Bring shame. Verse 7. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. They're going to follow him. Why? Remember, he's got some chariots. He's got some men. The perception is that he's king. He's King David's son. But watch this. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, whatever, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, and Re, the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. So you know what we have here? We have Adonijah grabbing a select group of people to back him up. There's a very interesting principle here. Let's talk about secret meetings. Let's talk about gossip. Why? Because that's what's happening here. It has to be. In order for him to get them to believe him, he has to say, hey, look, you don't want any other of David's sons to be king. You want me. Look, I'm good looking. Listen, from Adonijah's perspective, if you are having a secret meeting, there may be a problem. If there isn't, in your meeting, if there isn't a plan that includes the person or the persons that are having the problem, there's a problem. If you're just having a meeting without seeking a solution. If you're not going through the proper channels in your meeting, there's a problem. And here's the bigger problem. If you're having a secret meeting and you've called it together, then you are responsible for those you've dragged into the mess. the Adonijahs, the one who are organizing these secret meetings, has a huge heart problem. Now hold it. Wait a minute. Let's not let the rest of the people off so easy. What about the followers? What about those who come to the meeting? Look, if someone is including you in a secret meeting, you should be asking questions. If you are given information with no intent of fixing the problem, there's a problem there. If you are a part of bypassing the proper channels, then you have a huge heart problem. You know, I've had this happen. And someone come to say to me, you know, people just come to me and for counseling all the time, and they tell me all kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with that if you've got the ability to counsel. The problem is if you take that, you internalize it, and you never seek out the person they have the problem with in order to bring them to rectify. And they'll come up to me later on after telling me that and say, oh, you know what, so-and-so left the church. And I'm like, really? Oh, yeah. They were unhappy for a long time. And you knew this, and you never came to me. You never sought to tell them, you need to work out this problem before it becomes a mess. They were wanting to leave for a long time, you know. It's like, listen, then you know what that means? That people are coming to you because they trust you with their garbage. They trust you with the garbage, with the gossip, and they know that, you know what, that's what he does. He singles out the people he knows are weak enough to agree with him and follow him. Watch. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatted cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel. He also invited all his brothers, the king's son, and all the men of Judah and the king's servants. Now, this is interesting. The stone of Zoheleth means serpent. It actually means a crawling serpent. It's actually at the boundaries of Jerusalem. So what is that Adonijah doing? He's going to the crawling serpent, the stone of the crawling serpent, and he's pushing beyond the boundaries of what he should be doing. He self-proclaimed himself as a king. And and he's throwing himself a surprise party. Surprise, I'm king. Man, this guy is full of himself, and he doesn't even recognize. All the while, his name means Jehovah is Lord. Jehovah is my God. And yet he goes to the rock of the crawling serpent at the boundaries, beyond the boundaries. Wow, interesting. And all this, who is he going up against? Daddy. Talk about no family values. And by the way, folks, in the church and as a church body, we're a family. You know, we should have each other's best interests. Listen, if I upset you or you upset me, we should go to each other as brother and sisters to keep our family a happy home and work things out. And you, if you are the person that people like to come and get counsel with, you should be looking to make your brothers and sisters reconcile with one another. Not going, well, I knew it was coming and they told me. What is that? You were in all those secret meetings and you never sought to do the right thing and go through the proper channels. Check your heart, people. Verse 10. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, the mighty men, or Solomon, his brother. Now notice he invited all his other brothers, because remember, David has a lot of wives, so he probably has a lot of kids. But he didn't want Solomon there. Why? Because Solomon is supposed to be king, and I'll prove it to you here in a moment. Obviously, Benaiah and the rest of David's mighty men wouldn't have gone along, so he doesn't invite them because they probably would have given him some, you know, they would have said, no, this isn't right. There are certain people in the church that I know people don't come and gossip to because they know if they go gossip to them, they're going to bring it to me or to the other person. People won't come to me with their problem oftentimes because they know I'm going to seek to rectify the problem. I'm not going to sweep it under the carpet. I'm going to say, let's deal with this. Let's get it right before the Lord. Well, I don't want to go to Pastor Randy. Why? Because he won't sweep it under the carpet. No, I won't. Well, that's why they didn't bring these other. And notice who else isn't there. They don't want Nathan the prophet. Why? They don't want the word of God to stop him from what he's going to do. Wow. You know, that's something a lot of us do. You know, my pastor used to say this. Sin will keep you from the word of God, but the word of God will help keep you from sin. And a lot of times when people want to do something, they don't go to the word of God. They go to their best friend. Hey, Sally. Hey, Jimmy. I want to do this thing. What do you think? Yeah, go for it. All right. But the word says, no, that's okay. I've got my chariots and I got 50 men ahead and they're all saying, go for it. But they don't want Nathan, the prophet of God, to go, no, thus saith the Lord, stop what you're doing. Don't party on. Now, Zadok, the priest, he doesn't invite. But Abiathar, the priest, he invites. What does that say about Abiathar? Not such a mighty man of God, is he? A man of God would have asked some questions. He would have said, wait, come here. Why'd you invite me and not Zadok the priest? Is it because Zadok's really close with David? Oh, wait. If this is really legit, if this is a family affair, you brought all your other brothers, how come Solomon's not here? He's one of David's sons. And here's the big one that a good man of God, a priest, should have asked. I haven't heard David give this decree. Isn't that the proper channel? Shouldn't it be David deciding which of his sons now inherit the throne? Listen, can I tell you this? No, you can't. No, I'm going to tell you anyway. Listen, position, hear me, position doesn't always mean godly. Just because someone wears a tag that says, pastor or reverend or bishop or holy father, doesn't mean it's godly. Title, position, look, he's saying, I'm king. Well, he's only going to be king of one party, as you're going to see. Let's look at the plan conceived, verse 11 through 21. I have a feeling we're going to make it through this whole chapter. I never make it 11 verses this quick. That's amazing. Okay. So Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David, our Lord, does not know it? Hey, come here, girl. Now, you know what? What's interesting is we're not told. We are not told. How does he know this? It doesn't say, he saw them partying, but it also doesn't say that the Lord spoke to him. Somehow or other, he knows this. Somehow or other, he goes through the proper channels. And you'll see why it's the proper channels here in a moment. He's also, I see, bravery. Why? Remember who Joab is? Joab is the commander of the armies. He's got a priest with him, commander of the army, mighty men. He's got chariots. He's got 50 soldiers running in front of them. He's not afraid of a big crowd. He's not afraid of a mighty group. Or what the crowd might think of him. He's just going to do what is right. Folks, how about you? How about you? Are you sometimes worried about doing what is right because, what will everyone think of me? Or do you go, I don't care. I don't care. And we'll look at that even on Sunday. I don't care what people think. I care about what he thinks. Verse 12. Come, please, let me now give you advice. And she's probably going, okay, you're a man of God, you're a prophet of God. Break it down. That you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Well, wait a second. What do you mean? There was no threat made. Oh, yes. The fact that they were not invited means that when he becomes king, he's got to wipe them out so there's no threat to his throne. That's why they're not invited to the party. Now, some would say, but Pastor Randy, wait a second. Aren't they having a private meeting? You said it was bad. Well, here's the thing. First of all, Nathan isn't striving for personal gain. Nathan isn't going, ooh, he's evil, he's wrong, I totally disagree. He's saying, hey, look, do you know he's doing this and David doesn't know about it and you don't know about it? Do you know this? He's not making accusation. He's asking questions. He'll go through the proper channels. He's going to say, come here, let's talk, girl. Let's get a plan. Let's go to Mr. King Man. Okay? The person, listen to this, the person in the wrong is going to be confronted because of what Nathan, the prophet of God, is going to do. He doesn't sweep it under the carpet. The sin that's being committed is going to be dealt with. That's why this starts off as a secret meeting in order for it to be brought out in the open and to be dealt with under God's hand. I love that. Verse 13. He goes, here's the plan, girl. Go immediately to King David and say to him, first bat your eyes because you're pretty. He's a softy for the ladies. He didn't say that. I'm adding that. Go immediately to King David and say to him, did you not, my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, surely your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? You're like, where did that happen? 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5 through 9. But there's a reason why we know that this is true and actually goes way back all the way to even before he was born. Watch. Why then has Adonijah become the king? Go to David and say, David, do you know what's going on? Adonijah just said he is king and he's young. And so if he becomes king, Solomon will never get to sit on the throne. And didn't you promise he was the next one to sit on the throne? Remember this. Remember David wanted to build a temple for God? And God said, no, you're a man of war. There's blood on your hands. The house should be made, built by a man of peace. So you will have a son, and you're going to name him what? Peace. Solomon means peace. So when David named Solomon Peace, that was the son that he knew would be king after him, even before he was born. And guess what? Adonijah probably knew it too, because it was probably no secret. He goes, did not my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, surely your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? Then while you are still talking there with the king, I also would come in after you and confirm your words. Double punch. Now, you say, okay, that's cool. No. Let's rewind. Rewind with me. Remember who Nathan the prophet is? That's the guy who called David on the carpet when he had his affair with Bathsheba. So David respects him. Because he didn't throw it in his face. He wasn't rude about it. He was very godly about it. And so everyone recognizes Nathan the prophet as being a man of God, bringing the word of God. So Nathan says to David, says to Bathsheba, you go and talk to him first because he loves you. And then I'll come in and confirm it from the Lord. Wow. That's a great idea. Yeah, David will listen to that. That's conviction. And so, good plan, verse 15. So Bathsheba went into the chamber to the king. Now, the king was very old. And Abishag, the Shunammite, was serving him. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. And then the king said, what is your wish? Then she said to him, get this fine girl out of here. I'm your wife. I should be taking care of you. No, she didn't say that. She said, I'm sorry. I just can't picture. Can you picture, ladies? Can you picture, you're married to this man and now he's sick, very sick, and they get some other fine girl to come and lay down with him, and you got to walk in and there she is, and you know she's pretty, and she's younger than you. Wouldn't that bother you? Guys, what about you? You come home and there's some muscle-bound stud laying in your, keeping your wife warm. You'd be like, oh, that's cool. No. But look at her humility here. My Lord, you swore. So she's doing exactly as Nathan, the prophet, told her, "My lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, 'Surely Solomon, your son, shall reign after you, and he shall sit on my throne.' Now look, Adonijah has become king. And now, my lord, the king, you do not know about it. You didn't even know this was going on because you're sick here and you're playing footsies with Cutie Pie here. Why don't you wake up and smell the coffee? Take a look out your window." Verse 19. "He has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance and has invited all the sons of the king and Abathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army. But Solomon, your servant, your son, he has not invited." Do you see what he's doing here, King? He's going to kill Solomon, the one you said would sit on the throne, the one God told you would sit on the throne. He's going to kill him. Not being invited to this kind of party meant certain death. Except God already said Solomon would be king and would build the temple. Once again, folks, I've got to draw your attention to this. You and I are invincible until God is done with us. God has a plan for you. Now, here's the thing. You and I could go the other direction and we're going to have a miserable life. It might be okay for a while, but trust me, you're going to hit a dead end. And when you do, I'll rub your nose because it'll be flat. You're going to hit a dead end. Why? Because God has a plan for you and I. He does. And here's the thing, the enemy can come against me and it can look like things. Right now, it does not look good for Bathsheba and for Solomon. But God has a plan. And he brought it through Nathan, the prophet. Verse 20. "And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord, the king, after him. Otherwise it will happen, when my lord the king rests with his father, that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders and we will be dead." In other words, king, honey, dear, darling, you hold our life in your hand. If you just give the decree to all of Israel, they will listen. You're their king. They love you. But you are getting old. You're on your way out. Just leave us with some kind of future. Listen, family has value and we are your family. Let's look at pleading the case in verse 20 through 27. "And just then," oh, what a quinkadink. "While she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet, who was listening outside the door," no, "also came in." Double whammy. 1-2 punch. "So they told the king, saying, 'Here is Nathan the prophet.' And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, 'Oh, my lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me and he shall sit on my throne?'" The king, I just want to check. Because if you said it, of course, we're not going to concede it. You're the king. You do what you want. But have you said that? He knows he hasn't said that. I just want to check. Just run this by you. Hey, it's your call. I love his humility. You see the difference between a quiet, secret gossip session where there's backbiting? You know, they would never have come to David. They would just said, "Oh, he's doing this." And there would just be all this whining and complaining. Instead, he's like, comes right to the right place, and then he doesn't make any accusation. Doesn't call him, "Oh, that snake in the grass, you know. They're over by the rock of the slithering snake. Oh, of course." No, he doesn't say any of that stuff. I say that stuff. Verse 25. Notice it. Look. "For he has gone down today." Gone down. He certainly has. That is an understatement. He couldn't get any lower. He didn't go up. I love that. That's not a coincidence, by the way. He has gone down. And he's going down. "And has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance." Don't you love this? I don't love this. It actually turns my stomach. But Adonijah is trying to put a God seal of approval on his kingship. You cannot. Listen, you and I, we cannot sin and then try and pile a bunch of religious activity trying to make it okay. Hey, I serve in a ministry, so it's okay that I sin in the dark. Oh, it doesn't work that way. Ladies just had a retreat. I went to the ladies' retreat, so I'm godly. No, no. You're only godly if you surrender your heart. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. No, no, no. Let's see the fruit of it. See, Adonijah, there's no fruit. It's all fake. It's all outward. It's all phony. It's all plastic. It's shallow. And has invited all the king's son, but none, except one, Solomon, the one who's supposed to be the king, the commanders of the army, Abathar the priest, and look, they are eating and drinking before him, and they say, look at this, long live the king Adonijah. Oh, David, in other words, David, they want you to die. Die now, King David, so Adonijah can be king and long live the king. Wow, wow, wow. God and David both want Solomon to be king next. The king wants Solomon to be king next, and the King of Kings wants Solomon to be king next. But all the people, because of the perception, because of the party, they get caught up in the activity. Now long live Abiathar, the king, forever. Wow. Verse 26. But he has not invited me, the word of the prophet of God. Me, your servant. In other words, David, I'm your servant. That's why he hasn't invited me, because I'm on your side, David. I'm on God's side. Nor Zadok the priest. Nor Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, nor the servant, your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord and king after him? Did you do this? Folks, it doesn't matter how loud or how big a crowd is. It doesn't make it right. The only thing that makes a crowd or vocal noise or any of that makes it right is if we're being biblical. Folks, I cannot stress that enough. Some people are like, well, hey, go to this church over here. There's a lot of people going and they're really loud. And it's like, okay, but what does the Bible say? Is what they're doing biblical? Let me give you a great example. The Mormon church seems right on. Nice people, beautiful cathedrals. And you go there and it's so unbiblical. And you go, wow, the size of the crowd doesn't matter. The Church of Scientology, yikeronis. But all the beautiful people, all the wealthy people are going to that. Well, it must be right. Listen, perceptions can be all wrong. Let's look at the proclamation confirmed, verse 28 through 37. Then King David answered and said, call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence, stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, surely Solomon, your son, shall be king after me. He shall sit on my throne in my place. So I certainly will do this day. Bring on the dramatic music. Violins playing, crescendo, big watery tears coming around. He just saved her life. We go, oh, that's great. No, no, no. They were going to die, and they knew they would die. David just, not only did he do the right thing, but he just saved their life. You got to believe. Chills run up their spine. It was like, thank God. Because they don't know. David might have said, yeah, let him. He's never corrected his son ever. That's what Scripture said. Never corrected him. So I'm sure she went up going, you know what? He's not going to, hey, that's good. Awesome. If I had a piece of paper, I'd right there, a little jelly bean. I know that feeling. Anyways, listen, that's all right. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, he never corrected his son. So why would he start now? You know they had to be weary and worried that that might be the case, verse 31. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, get this fine girl out of here. I'll take care of you. No, I'm stuck on that, aren't I? I just think it's so wrong. I don't get it, but, you know, hey, a different culture. Let my Lord the King live forever. And King David said, it's good to be the king. No, he said, and the king said, call me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of that guy. And they came before the king. And the king also said to them, take with you the servants of the Lord. And have Solomon, look at this, and have Solomon, my son, ride on my mule and take him down to Gihon. Now you go, oh, it's a big deal, right? No. You got to understand. To ride the king's mule, that was like taking Air Force One. In that day, it was like, put him on Air Force One and have him come down the tarmac. Everyone see him come out of the plane. They're going to get this. He's the king. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the horn and say, long live the king Solomon. Then they shall come up after, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place. For I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. And this guy, the son of that guy, answered the king and said to him, amen. Look, I like what he says. Benaiah says, may the Lord God of my Lord the King say so too. I love that statement. Don't just read over that. You know what he's saying? He's saying, King, it's awesome that you say this. It's great. You are king. You're a good man. You're a godly man for the most part. But he says, but I want to know that the King of Kings agrees with you. That's much better. Folks, it doesn't matter. Look, I'm the pastor of this church. And, you know, we say, hey, let's go do this. You might say, oh, that's awesome. But you know what? I want to know that God wants us to do that too. That doesn't offend me. I'm like, I want more of that. I want to surround my people. And I have surrounded my people with people who go, Pastor Randy, that's good we do that. But let's make sure, let's pray and make sure that's what God wants us to do. Yeah. See, I love that guy's heart. No wonder he didn't invite him to the party. I love what you're saying, King, but if God says it, how much better is that? Verse 37. As the Lord has been with my Lord the King, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. And I love that too. Yeah, isn't that the heart of every parent? Every parent wants their children to surpass them in their accomplishments. You know what I used to say? I used to say, you know what? I don't care if my kids, what they do when they grow up. You know, if they want to be the garbage man, or they want to be flip burgers, or they want to be a dentist or a lawyer or the president, as long as they are happy, I'll be happy. And then I realized, but that's wrong. Why? Well, because My son or my daughter could become president. Without God, they're still going to go to hell. So I'd rather have them be whatever they want to be as long as they're being what God wants them to be, and then I'm happy. I want their godly accomplishments to surpass my accomplishments, which are only what God allows me to accomplish. That's what matters. So Benaiah is saying that same thing. He's saying, God, may he have God's blessing and be able to do even more than you. And David's probably saying, yes, Lord. Let him build your house that I wanted to do that I couldn't do. And may it be a blessing to many. It's probably what he's saying in his heart, because we know that from earlier. As the Lord has been with my Lord the King, so may he be with Solomon and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. Let's look at the proper ceremony. Watch this, 38 through 40. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on the King David's mule and got him to Gihon. There comes Air Force One. So then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle. Notice, there was no horn of oil in the earlier ceremony. There is now. He took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. And the people went up after him, and the people played flutes and rejoiced with great joy. Look at this. So that the earth seemed to split with their sound. You want to talk about a loud party. Now, I'll tell you, I think that God is so impressed and God is pleased that he's adding some amplification to this situation. Why do I say that? Here's why. I went and saw The Who at the L.A. Coliseum. The Who, yes, The Who, the band The Who. You've never heard of them? Oh, I dated myself. I hope I bring flowers. Okay. So, okay, so listen, when I went and saw The Who, when I went and saw The Who were the loudest band in the world. 126 decibels. That's 126 decibels at 100 feet from the speakers. The second loudest band at that time was Deep Purple. I'm really dating myself. They were at 117 decibels. Now, you go, well, let's put that in perspective. If you were standing right under a thunderclap, right under a really loud one, that's only 120 decibels. But the problem is, or the blessing is, it only happens for a few seconds. If that were to go on longer, it would cause permanent damage. So The Who was at 126 decibels. So here you got a band playing at 126 decibels. You got 25,000 people in the Coliseum. I think it's even higher than that. And it didn't feel like, when I came late, it didn't feel like the ground was going to split. It just like, hey, there's a loud band. This says that it was so loud that it felt like the earth was splitting. I think God is making a point, don't you? I think his king has just been anointed. I love that. And then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. May the Lord of my God, the king, say so too. Remember he said that, by the way? He asked. He said, hey, David, I know you said that, but now may the God of my Lord say it too. I think God just said it with this loud noise. Let's look at party canceled, verse 41 through 53. We're going to make it, folks. I love it. Now Benaiah and all the guests who were with him heard it, and they finished eating. Yeah, I would finish eating too. It's like, what's going on? Then Joab heard the sound of the horn, and he said, why is the city in such a noisy uproar? What's going on over there? I thought we knew how to party. While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, the bad priest who's with him. And Adonijah said to him, come in, for you are a prominent man and bring good news. I got to give him credit. I got to give him credit for being optimistic. Oh, you bring good news. Now, hold on. He is going to bring good news for everyone else, just not him. Verse 43. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, no, our Lord King, David has been David has made Solomon the king. And the king has sent him with Zadok the priest and with Jonathan the prophet. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made him ride on Air Force One, and he's traveling. So Zadok the priest and Jonathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city was in a roar. And this was the noise that you heard. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the king. Oh, yeah. Not only is it Air Force One, but he's sitting on the throne. You know what he's doing? He's saying, you know what? Party over. It's like they had a Halloween party at the Rock of the Slithering Snake, and his costume was the king costume. And now it's November 1st. He needs to take the costume off. Party over. Oops, out of time. You got to play king for the day. Feel special. Feel special, but it's over. Verse 46. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servant has gone to bless our king David, saying, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. Then the king the king bowed himself on the bed. In other words, he got out of bed, he kneeled on the side of the bed, and he humbled himself. Wow. That had to send shivers. Verse 48. Also the king said thus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day while my eyes see it. So David is pleased to put Solomon there. Not so pleased with you, bro. And all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid. Yeah. And arose, and each went his way. Party's over, the street sweeper's coming down an empty street. And here's the thing. Stars are only stars until they fall. All these people are like, oh, what were we doing? You know, we never got confirmation of this from David. There was something missing here. Solomon wasn't here. We all know that Solomon is supposed to be the next in line, right? They named him peace. We all know the story. What were we thinking? Verse 50. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he rose and went and took the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. He knows he deserves it. That's what he was going to do when he was king. But I want you to see why God makes certain people leaders. Why God makes certain people king. Verse 52. Then Solomon said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not a hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. Guess what? Guess what's going to be found in him? Wickedness. We already see it. He's not going to change his spots. He didn't repent. He got caught. You see, that's the difference. Some people get caught, but they don't repent. Well, they're, oh, I got caught, and they cry. But there's no repentance. He didn't repent. David would repent. He just got caught. But I love Solomon's heart. He has family values. He has true leadership. The same was true of David. He should have killed Saul, and he didn't do it over and over again. Why? Because he loved. He saw Saul as his family were both Jews. He's my king. Solomon's now king, and he's like, I'm going to be a good king, not an evil king. I'm not going to kill him, even though he wanted to kill me, even though what he was doing was wrong, even though it was insurrection. Verse 53. So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar. Watch this. Brings him down. He's holding on to the horn. They're trying to pull him away. And he came and he fell before King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, just go to your house. Just go home. Just go home. Listen, bro, come here. Stop the silliness. Take off the Halloween costume and just go home. King Solomon, good family values. Brothers and sisters, how are your family values? Not just at home, but here within the body of Christ. May we love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, challenge one another, hold one another accountable, and not sweep anything under the carpet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive. We thank you, Father, that you desire to speak to all our hearts. And Lord, most of all, that we are called your children, that we have an inheritance, and we don't have to push and shove or fight with each other over the inheritance. It's promised to us. We can just trust that nothing will steal it from us. Nothing can violate it. Nothing can rob us of the inheritance that our King, our God, our Father has promised to us. And so, Lord, we're going to rest in you. We're going to trust in you. And we're going to live in a way that shows you that we are pleased. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.